Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Bill Belichick has had his Wednesday press get-together with the folks down there. Among the attendees is our buddy Tom E. Curran, brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Tommy Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Hello, Tom. How are you?
What's up, Dale? How you been? Hello, Richard.
Hello, Tom. So what kind of mood was the coach in today?
I think there's a level of concern, consternation. It's his Wednesday mode, which is just to absolutely vomit all his information about the Jacksonville Jaguars and accentuate their strengths. So, and there's plenty of them, you know, especially on one side of the football. On the other, questionable, but they are a very good defense.
Now, one of the notes he had was Jalen Ramsey, who is a tremendous corner. One of the things he typically does is follow around a number one receiver. I don't know if the Patriots have a number one wide receiver anyway. What do you think Jalen Ramsey does on Sunday?
Well, it's interesting. He has done that a bit in the past, but he didn't necessarily do it with Odell Beckham last week. They played a fair amount of zone, and, you know, Beckham had a good day. I don't know if he was singled up one-on-one with Ramsey the entire time, if he would have had the same kind of day. But look, Jalen Ramsey said over the summer, accurately, as irritating as it might be, he accurately said that Rob Gronkowski does not do as good a job. He has more trouble with corners than he does any other position. So if I was the Jacksonville Jaguars looking at this team, I'd say, Jalen, chase him around. Have a nice matchup with him and irritate him.
There was a tweet that came out of Dallas. Apparently, Dez Bryant and Jerry Jones took in the Beyonce Jay-Z concert together last night at AT&T Stadium. And one of the local broadcasters on the home of the Cowboys and Rangers wrote, Dez and Jerry were hanging out, but a source tells me he, meaning Dez, was letting other people at the concert know he's probably going to New England. You buying any of this?
You know what? I mean, things can change, but I've been told on multiple occasions, if I were you, I wouldn't spend a lot of time on that. Okay. Mm. I mean, that's the due diligence you do on the beat. It's hard to ask people who might be sources, this will never happen, right? Because things do change. But what I've been told throughout is, yeah, don't spend a lot of time on that. That's probably not going to happen. So, I mean, push comes to shove. Corey Coleman doesn't work. Chad Hansen didn't work. Riley McCarron didn't work. You know, is it in case of emergency, break glass and see if you want that nuisance here? Maybe.
But now, you say nuisance, Tom. Why do you think he's a nuisance?
You have a television, right? You have a working television?
At home, I do, yes. Yeah. It's high definition and everything. It's great. Look, I love it.
Here's the thing with Dez or Odell Beckham or any player who decides that they want to be a wide receiver diva. You don't control where the ball goes. So when you return to the sidelines and throw tantrums like you're the only one on the entire team, I always look at it and say, what if every single player who got agitated acted out like that?
It's good and passion, though. Dez Bryant, Tom, come on. It's good passion.
Yeah,
from
I know. Isn't that unbelievable?
Come on.
Everybody else can't. Nobody else cares. That's the only guy who cares. Please
cares
demonstrate
more
to me.
Yeah. He cares more than everybody else.
It just shows the passion of Odell Beckham when he gets smashed in the head with a kicking net that he punched.
That was a
wow,
tough...
everybody should do that. It shows the love.
But when you're that talented, can't you get away with a little bit more? Is that true?
I just don't think he's that talented anymore. Mm.
Does Corey Coleman, Benny Fowler, or Kenyon Barner, do any of these guys finish the season with the Patriots?
Number three. Door number three, Kenyon Barner.
Okay, all right.
If you look at what he did last year, he's out of a job because he's a replaceable kind of guy. He's a 27-year-old, 5'9", 190-pound, third-down back slash kick returner. So when it comes time to trim your rosters, you're going to keep offensive linemen, you're going to keep linebackers, and guys like Kenyon Barner end up out of work. But if you look at his track, he's gone from Philly. He's been there twice. He's been in Carolina twice. He was with the Los Angeles Chargers. He's a good guy to have around, and especially in the case of the Patriots, who really tied their hands in the punt return game to the point where they had Riley McCarron out there, and even I could tell he couldn't field punts before he was out there. Now Kenyon Barnett comes in. He did this job for the Eagles last year after Darren Sproles got hurt, and he had a good year returning punts. So that I am guessing will be your answer.
One of the things Belichick talked about today is how hard it is to join a team, you know, like these guys have done. Is it possible to even get these wide receivers up to speed by Sunday?
You look at a guy like Dorsett. No. I mean, you have to give them a tiny if this, then that type of playbook, not the option routes. If I come back and you see this over the top and then you're going to break it off at three. No, it has to be very simple stuff. So, I mean, you had 3 weeks. I mean, this is what's discouraging about Corey Coleman. He had 3 weeks with the Bills.
Right.
Who accepted a $3.55 million guaranteed salary with him and gave up a seventh-round pick. And by the time the final cuts came, the Bills said, we would rather swallow the $3.55 million and give up the seventh-round pick than have Corey around. So that's discouraging.
Now, I remember,
because that's the Bills, and they're not as good as you think.
I say he can't make the Browns or the Bills. I don't love that. Not to mean that, you know, he can't make it with some team, but it just that's not a great thing to have on the old resume.
But the flip side, too, of that, Keith, is when you think about it, those teams are not known for tremendous decision-making.
Right,
so
right, right.
This could be the dynamite in their face.
It is bad decision-making, but it was also a first-round pick for Cleveland, and after 2 years, they're like, all right, it's not worth it. And then the Bills bring him in. You mentioned the money angle, and they're like, yeah, we can't do it here.
They're epidemically dumb in both
dumb
cities, so
never
know.
Fair.
But chances are he's not going to make a massive contribution.
One of the things we talked about in the offseason was Matt Patricia going to the Detroit Lions. And I believe, Tom, from our conversations, you're not exactly shocked that it has gotten off to a poor start. Am I right?
I didn't think they were going to suck on offense that bad. I had my dark horse MVP as Matt Stafford, and I think he's going to have he's got a long way to go.
He does. Dug himself a bit of a hole there. Yeah.
He's going to be swimming upstream. But, yeah, I think Matt Patricia is very much a byproduct, and some are and some aren't. You know, Bill O'Brien, I think, has done a good job wherever he's been, Houston included, even though he's held hostage by the quarterback. I think Vrabel will be a good head coach. But I'm not a big Matt Patricia buyer at all.
It seemed as though Bill Belichick was in full-blown Lou Holtz mode today, talking about the Jaguars, Blake Bortles, the linebackers. He just loves everything about this team, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but on the linebacker stuff, Miles Jack and Telvin Smith are unbelievable. They have great defensive talent, and I sang this song last week about the front seven with Houston, underselling how bad they would be on the back and make it optional to cover Gronk. But these guys, Dale, you know, we saw it in the playoffs last year with Barry Church, with Ramsey, with Bouye on the other side, and that's in the secondary. And then at the second level, you have those two guys, Smith and Mack. And then up front, you have Pro Bowlers in Malik Jackson and Calais Campbell, plus the Yannick Ngakoue.
Nice.
I executed that.
Nicely done.
They're good. I mean, but you still are. The worst thing that could have ever happened was Blake Bortles putting up 45 points on Pittsburgh in the playoffs, and then having the Jaguars ahead with 8 minutes left in the AFC championship game. Because they signed up for that nitwit for another however many years, 4 years.
Right.
And he's not good.
Can they win with him, though? Is the defense good enough where they can go all the way with Blake Bortles?
I don't think so. Yeah. I really don't. He's just – because they've lost Marquise Lee – Leonard Fournette is a 1983 type running back, right, Dale? I go to you because you and I were both watching in 83.
Yes, we were.
I mean, you can't have that. You can't have that. You can't have a 245-pound back, in my estimation, like Leonard Fournette, and not have that kind of breakaway speed that some of the bigger backs have.
You think he's got like a little Natron Means to him?
Natron Means business. No, he's got a little Pete Johnson to him. And he's hurt this week, TJ. They just don't have enough on offense to really threaten. So as a result, you're going to put a lot more pressure on a guy who doesn't need it. But they were second in the NFL last year in points allowed per game, and I would imagine they're going to be around that again this year.
Was there any discussion at all about travel plans, given the weather that's now looks like it's headed more in the direction of Georgia and even northern Florida, and whether that would have any effect this week?
Man, I haven't heard that yet. No, I honestly haven't heard that yet, Dale. That's absolutely worth asking about, though, because, you know, that's the kind of thing, when you look at what happened last week with Tennessee and Miami, that's the kind of game that I would imagine is hard to come back from if you're the road team, especially New England, if you have messed up travel plans going down or going in there. So, you know, it's definitely a question worth asking, but I don't know what the timing is, because isn't that thing supposed to hit Thursday night in Carolina?
But now what they're saying is it's going to stall. The latest forecast, it's going to stall offshore and then sort of turn to the left towards Georgia and Florida, and it's going to become like a 24 to 48 hour thing.
You love weather, don't you?
I do.
Big weather guy.
I know you do. Big time weather guy. Yep.
Tom, this is more of a big picture
thing.
Nothing
wrong with that.
You got to have your hobbies and things like that. This is
I like weather. I just know Dale really likes weather.
Would you ever like hurricane chase? Would you ever do something like that?
I'm really afraid of most things.
Yeah, smart. I think stay in the house. Stay in the house.
Yeah, I talk a good game, but I'm pretty much, I'm just living in fear every second of the day.
Tom, I'll tell you what, I really like your new Twitter videos with your dog, Bo. I've really enjoyed those.
I'm afraid of him, too.
He looks like a real killer.
Yeah, he looks vicious. He's very...
Does he ever, like, get up off the couch?
I do have to get him a little bit more mobile. We got him at the Lakeville Animal Shelter.
That's great. That is really nice. How old a guy is he?
I can't tell. I'm going to cut him open and count the rings.
Yeah, we'll do that later. Don't do that now.
I think he's like 6 or 7, but I can't tell, and he's not talking.
No, he's not saying all right. A secret's safe with him.
Barely breathing.
Come on, Dale.
He lays there.
No, I know. He's very sleepy. The dogs sleep a lot. That's part of their charm.
Look at that. Whoa.
Hey, can I throw a quick plug?
All right.
Sure. We'll allow it.
All right, I got to do a thing today. This is Dr. Leonard brings you this, of course, and he fixed my hair, which is flowing.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to be over at Tony C's this afternoon with a Nissan Rogue, and I want you to give me your Rogue NFL prediction of the day. That's Tony C's in Burlington on 3rd Ave. So if you stop on over there, we'll see you, and I can do that.
Cool.
I got to do that, because if I'm standing there for an hour and I don't talk to anybody, I'm going to be hot.
You got
to
bring Bo?
It's a long ride, but I am thinking about it.
Good. Good. I think that'll get people in there, is what I'm saying.
Now that we've worked the plug-in, can I work in another football question
sure,
here?
I guess.
If you don't mind. Fine. According to stats that NFL Matchup came up with, the Patriots put the most pressure on the opposing quarterback of any team in the NFL last week. 53.7% of the time. Jacksonville, by comparison, put the pressure on the quarterback 35% of the time. Did we underestimate the personnel changes? Because I don't think the scheme is appreciably different, but they seem to be putting more pressure on the quarterback.
I wonder how much, Dale. I mean, this is, and I'm sure you agree with me, we need more data. We're going to need a hell of a lot more data on this.
Sure.
Because if you look back at the Tennessee playoff game, they sacked Mariota 8 times. He was under complete siege. So I wonder if a lot of it was related to, they had excellent pass rush discipline, I thought, as opposed to earlier last year, where they were leaving gaps. I mean, they came in, the pocket looked like it was supposed to look in terms of they weren't giving seams for him to walk in through. But they do have their occasions when the quarterback is either slow to make his decisions or uncertain where they get to the quarterback. So I wouldn't underestimate and underrate the importance of Stephon Gilmore. Regardless of what happened in the last 5 minutes, I don't care. That guy is a good corner now, and they're lucky to have him, I think, because I think that secondary covered really well last week.
Tom, last Sunday you joined us on the pregame show, and you really knocked my socks off when you said that you think that 2019 is going to be the last year for Tom Brady, either in the league or with the Patriots. I should have asked you, is that more your opinion, or is that sort of sourced out?
Combination of both.
Okay. All right. That's kind of what I assumed,
I just don't think he's playing past 2019. And I do think that the two sides, while Brady would have liked to have realized more money than the incentive-laden contract, I don't think that either side is right now agitating for extending past 2019. I think that, you know, if 2019 comes and goes They don't have a remedy at quarterback. Tom has continued to play at a decent level. Whether Bill Belichick's here or not, maybe they talk about it. But I think that they wanted to leave their options open when they had Jimmy Garoppolo, if they could have found a way to keep him here. So I don't think that they're going to be in a rush to re-sign Brady. And I think that, you know, over the course of time, I think Tom has been of a mind where, you know what, I didn't love the way it went over the last 18 months. Why do I want to re-sign right now? Why do I want to jump? Things can change, but that's my suspicion. If he plays past 2019, it'll be in another city.
I think you were the one who wrote this originally. Others have repeated it since, that Tom Brady is at the I don't give a bleep point of his career right now. And and you kind of get that sense with some of the things he said and some of the answers. Does he seem like he's happy around there, or is he just the I don't give a bleep position with you guys and us guys?
No, yeah, it's yes, exactly. He's not going to get caught up in what, you know, Dale and Keith have to say about how his press conference demeanor was, or whether or not Tom Curran finger wags him because of some video he does with Gotham Chopper. He doesn't care. He's done with worrying about, you know, how it's going to be received. He's done with worrying about, even for instance, look, it's in his contract that he's supposed to be on with Kirk and Jerry in the morning. He's supposed to do the Patriots Monday. If he doesn't like it, and I think that's the best example, if he doesn't like the way it's going, it's not as much in a rebuke of the questioning. It's as much a rebuke of, you know what, I'm supposed to do this for you guys, but if I don't want to do this, meaning the Patriots, I'm contracted, but if I don't want to do this, I'm not going to do it. And I'm not giving any kind of judgment on right, wrong. I'm just giving you, this is how I believe him to feel about things at this juncture in his career. He's not going to get caught up at 41 with worrying about how this is going to play with Bill Belichick or with Robert Kraft. He's going to try and satisfy the people closest to him, I guess.
Tom, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week, and good luck at that big appearance this afternoon.
All right. Glue yourself to the Weather Channel.
That's what we'll do.
Thanks,
Tom. We'll talk to you later. Tom E. Curran joining us. Tom, as we said, is brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Tom E. Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. So he is still absolutely convinced.
2 years.
That if Tom Brady is playing after next season,
right,
it won't be here.
Which is what his contract is. He's got 2 years left on the contract. I thought that one of the things they were going to get done this offseason, especially with Jimmy Garoppolo gone, no backup in sight, I thought they were going to extend him one more year, but that's not what happened. I mean, they gave him the incentives. He can make $5 more million if he's top five in all those categories just for this year. They haven't tweaked next year's yet. And so, I mean, that's still going to be wildly impressive. I mean, he's going to play at age 41 and at age 42. So I understand that. You know, not a lot of guys are playing when they're 43. But if anybody's going to do it, you'd think it'd be Brady, especially somebody who's been adamant now for a while that he wants to play till he's 45. And I didn't know if he would take that as sort of insulting that they're not willing to extend him. But according to Tom, it sounds like
he's not in any hurry either.
Both sides are kind of okay with that, just sort of letting this play out. You know, 20 years in the NFL. And then you take it from there. It really is kind of comical what these guys are doing.
Noon 30 is coming up next, and there's a story. I know it's Wednesday. There's a story that happened Saturday that we haven't gotten to yet because we've been a little busy.
It's an interesting
one. Non-stop wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
All right, so for noon 30 today, we're going to go back a few days because with all the Patriots stuff and football stuff and baseball. A
lot going on.
We haven't had a chance to even mention this yet, and we're not going to do a whole segment or take calls on it necessarily, but it's gotten a lot of national play. And it was the U.S. Open, the women's final, which was Saturday afternoon. I happened to be down at Mohegan Sun getting ready for the Hall of Fame thing.
Sitting
there right
tennis?
In the room, had it on.
Sure.
So I happened to see this whole thing, and it was Serena Williams, who, let's just say, she had a bit of a beef with the chair umpire.
Demanding an apology from him for the insinuation that she had cheated, that there was coaching going on. Again, and any player they're going to bear the blame when it's a person in the player box who is actually accused of something.
Yeah, Serena was watching her coach give her a hand signal.
Verbal abuse.
And now,
Mrs. Williams.
Wow. Game penalty. There's some confusion now.
She shouldn't be serving.
There's some confusion. Osaka was serving at 4-3. Ramos just said game penalty.
Correct.
Oh, my goodness. This is very unfortunate.
All right, so here's
this
the deal.
Is very unfortunate.
Early on, there was a point where Serena's coach is in the stands. He's actually in the second row. He's in the exact opposite end of the court from where she's serving.
Ooh, giving her tips?
And they show him, and he's making hand gestures, which was, get up to the net, get up to the net. Now,
oh boy.
Technically,
can't do that.
You're not supposed to do that.
If I know my tennis,
it happens all the time, but you're not supposed to do
no
it.
No pointers, right? You got to kind of.
You're not supposed to coach at all.
No coaching.
You know, by the way, post-game, he admitted, I absolutely was coaching. Oh, I don't think she was looking at me, but I was coaching.
He can't turn it off, maybe. He's like, I'm just once a coach, always a coach.
So the chair umpire gave her a warning. She went crazy because she said the chair umpire was accusing her of cheating. He wasn't at all. What he was saying is, that guy over there is coaching.
But she took it the wrong way. She thought it was like, oh, you're ripping my integrity is really what it is.
Which was ridiculous.
So she says she calls the guy a thief, and
this was later on.
No, she's screaming at him for
that. Well, the first warning is coaching.
Coaching,
which her coach admitted he did.
Right.
So he warns her. Coaching. Now there's no penalty. It's just a warning.
No coaching in tennis.
She goes a little crazy. Yeah. You know, you're accusing me
she's
of cheating.
She's running hot. I like the passion.
So then she gets her service broken, and she smashes her racket.
Good fire.
Destroys it.
Good fire.
Now that's kind of automatic. Okay. That's,
yeah, you get penalized for smashing rackets?
So yes,
I
you do.
Know.
And she was penalized a point. So now the third part was where you heard her calling him a thief. You stole a point from me.
Yeah, well.
You're a thief. That's
like
verbal abuse.
Verbal abuse.
The third infraction then is a game. Now, there are a couple of points to this. One is the coaching thing happens all the time.
The coaching thing is lame.
It's lame.
Like,
it really is. It's like, come on here. I mean, really?
That is dumb. Like, it's just not have the coach in the building then if he can't even give you, like, he's sitting in the second row giving you tips. Like, come on.
So the smashing the racket thing is automatic, but if you hadn't already warned her about the coaching thing, then you would have warned her for that, and we'd have kept going. So now it kind of compounds.
But calling him a thief, that's really verbal abuse. Like, come on. Like, she didn't swear up and down
or insult him or anything else. Because we heard the whole thing. She didn't swear. Her point is that, you know, male players say a lot more and a lot worse than that.
Yeah. The crowd getting into it there. Crowd all of a sudden sensing the tension of the match, perhaps. Yeah, so, I mean, she might be right, but I feel like it's getting away from her a little bit.
Oh, no,
there.
She lost it.
And you know why
she lost it? Because she was getting her butt handed to her.
Because she was
by
cheating.
By Naomi Osaka, who's a 20-year-old kid who was playing great, and Serena had her whole script laid out in her head. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah, she's losing. She's frustrated.
I'm going to complete the comeback here. Right. And she escalated it.
But I also
now,
think what
he
she,
also was wrong.
Oh, he's, yeah.
The whole coaching thing, okay, fine. You know, you could call it almost all the time. But for her to then, and she made this big deal out of, I don't cheat. I have a daughter. I'd rather lose than cheat. But he never said you were cheating.
Right.
He said, that guy over there was cheating.
That's one of those scenarios where I think it's hitting a little too close to home. You know, like if you call somebody a cheater and they freak out, guess what? Probably a cheater.
Cheated ever!
You're like, whoa.
But listen.
You know what?
I mean, it's really not.
Life's not fair. That's kind of the moral of the story, isn't it? She kind of lost her mind there.
She lost her mind.
Yeah,
and by the way,
but she might be right.
Well,
there's
by the way,
to
just back
what did
up
John
a little.
McEnroe used to say to those chair judges?
No, he would swear.
He would give him
on.
The business.
But my point is, she's done this her whole career. She has
tried to
intimidate chair umpires.
Oh.
She has bitched and moaned about stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
She's whined about stuff. She's the best player on the planet, but she has been kind of a pain in the rear end her whole career.
But I still, in a weird way, take her side because nobody is there to see the chair umpire. Nobody is there to see the baseball umpire.
Exactly.
Nobody is there to see the basketball
and
referee.
And Carlos Ramos could have de-escalated this. When she called him a thief, she didn't swear. She didn't use all those words. He could have just let her blow off steam and get it over with. Come on, let's keep playing.
Right.
She escalated it originally.
Right.
He then took it to the next stage.
But I think that should be part of like any kind of referee's job is just to sort of diffuse those things and move on. Like let the person scream at you. Let them scream at you. Like, all right, you got to serve. I'm like, here you go. Get back in there. We got to move this thing along.
Now, one of the biggest tennis fans that I know, he's talked about tennis on the radio in New York, on TV in New York, is Mad Dog.
Big tennis guy, Mad Dog.
Huge tennis guy.
Oh,
huge.
Right.
And my guess is he was there.
Probably.
So Mad Dog.
How's he feel about this?
He wasn't very happy.
I don't cheat on my mother. Who cares? I don't care what you are. I'm not interested. This is a tennis match. This is a sporting event. I'm not interested. You're a mother. So is Ivan Gulagan-Cawley. So is Kim Clijsters.
When was the last time Ivan Gulagan-Cawley got mentioned?
You're a mother. So is Ivan Gulagan-Cawley.
Hard not to take his side when he drops that one on you. Then he throws in a Kim Clijsters just for good measure as well.
I told you, man knows his tennis,
I guess he
okay?
does know his tennis. No, he is right about
he
that.
He was just warming up,
oh,
though.
Boy.
For you to sit there and bring up the mother aspect is ridiculous. This has nothing to do with motherhood. Nobody wants to hear this. I'm here to sit there and watch a tennis match. One you were losing, by the way. Mind-boggling.
Yeah, I am kind of, you know what? I was siding with Serena a little bit, even though she'd lost her mind. But Mad Dog brings up some good points. Like, so say Pete Sampras. That's my sort of tennis knowledge. Say Pete Sampras was getting fined for this. And he's like, I'm a father. Why would I do? I'm a father. I would never cheat. I'm a father. And you'd be like, get out of my face with that. Like, I could care less what your family tree looks like, sir.
Well, you heard one of Serena's big things was, you know, men would never have this happen. They would never be treated this
right.
way.
Yes.
Dog was all over that.
Well, if I was a man, this wouldn't... Nonsense! A man! Have you said... Come on! Nadal's gotten code violations, lost points at the French Open. Djokovic, too. Eddie Murray, too. Buy this umpire! Buy this umpire! Dave, you're a mother. So is Ivan Gulagan-Cawley.
A second Ivan Gulagan-Cawley.
So that is good knowledge because when Serena was having her fit and was screaming and saying this wouldn't happen to men, I kind of believed it. I said, you know what? Maybe she's right because I don't really follow tennis and I don't remember hearing any of these things. But if Dog is right and those are three of the best tennis players in the world, if they have all been penalized by the same judge, then that's another argument that she has that is wrong. I'm just taking Dog at his word. I didn't do the research on it.
Here's the part that bugged me the most. You've got this 20-year-old kid, Naomi Osaka, who's winning her first major ever. She'd never been in a finals of a major.
Yeah, nobody's even talking about her.
And, you know, the fans are getting all cranked up because Serena's got them all going. You know, at the post-match ceremonies, they're booing. This kid's crying, you know. I mean,
it was a real mess.
I mean, it was a mess.
The emotions were running high that day.
And believe me, Dog knows about tennis fans at the U.S. Open.
I can't recall worse behavior in a big spot than I saw on Saturday. And I'm one who gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch her play in Australian Open Finals, which, one more time, 23,000 people in that building on Saturday who had nothing better to do than boo don't know anything about the Australian Open or the French Open. They're there because they think it's a big deal to drink champagne and, you know, get seats and sit there with the celebrities at the U.S. Open Final, which is a disgrace. They're not tennis fans.
Wow. Really?
He's got a point, too, about, you know, they're there for the event.
Yeah.
And especially with Serena trying to win her first major
to be seen,
since coming
right?
back.
Yeah. Is it like a... like a Kentucky Derby crowd or like a Preakness crowd?
Yeah, that's a good analogy. You know, it's the place to be. It's the event to be at. It's not necessarily big tennis
fans.
They're
not waking up at 4 a.m. to watch the Australian Open, the Australian final.
Now, Dog.
He does.
He's a tennis guy.
I guess so. I didn't know this.
You guys, and I'm pointing at you.
I hear you.
You could be different.
To sit there and defend Serena doesn't know their quote-unquote ass from their elbow.
There you go.
Why is that quote-unquote?
I don't know.
Why is he putting that in quotes?
Hey, you're a mother. So is Ivan Gulagan-Cawley.
Oh, that's the best. Case closed at that point. If you're going to put that out there, like, all right, I'm not going to argue with tennis with this gentleman. He seems to know what he's talking about.
She, the first part, it was just a warning.
Like,
it was just a warning. He was coaching. Which, by the way, he said, yes, I was coaching.
Yes. But I'm not a cheater.
I am.
And he never said you were. He said that guy was doing it, not you.
If she did it a little bit differently, I'd be more on her side. I think I still ultimately am on her side, especially if it's between her and the chair judge. I'm definitely on her side. But to, at that point, bring up the double standard with men, and then Mad Dog kind of just debunked that pretty quickly. Like, all right, just go serve. Stop crying.
If I was a man, this wouldn't... Nudsack! A man! Have you said... Come on! Nadal's gotten code violations, lost points at the French Open. Djokovic, too. Eddie Murray, too. By this umpire! By this umpire!
I mean, so there you go. I mean, that's...
Dog is in full dudgeon at this point.
He sounds like he knows it. But again, the chair umpires should just, you know, shut up and just let them play. Like, that's really what their job is.
I think that what Serena then turned this into was her being a heroine for the women's movement. Her post-match press conference, you're talking about, you know, it won't help me, but maybe it'll help the next young girl coming up.
There
have been instances here of late that have not looked good
for tennis.
On the professional tennis. Her outfit at the French Open that they said she couldn't wear.
Right.
The young lady who was turning her shirt around. And they even admitted, you know, we screwed this one up.
Yeah.
So you've got kind of examples. We certainly have heard male tennis players say at least what she was saying, if not worse, and not get the same sort of penalty. That's where Carlos Ramos, I think, has an issue, is that he should have just let her blow off steam. You know what? She didn't call him a bleep, bleep, bleep thief.
No, she didn't, like,
she
lose
said,
her
you're
mind.
A thief. You stole a point from
you're
me.
A
you're
thief.
A thief.
Right.
So let her blow off steam and move on.
So she's a cheater. She's a verbal abuser. And then she got penalized for smashing the racket, too?
I don't cheat. I'm a mother. Who cares? I don't care what you are.
That's just good competitiveness.
The racket thing was kind of an automatic.
Yeah, I don't
the
mind
problem
that one.
Was she had been warned already because of the coaching, which her coach said, yeah, I was coaching.
So that guy started the whole thing. That, it's really that guy. He started
it,
the
it
whole
is,
thing.
In a way.
If he was minding his business and just eating a popcorn, having a champagne, then none of this happens. Because she doesn't get the original penalty for taking coaching. Which, how stupid is that? You can't coach?
This is not fair.
Yeah, I mean, you're going
to
lose anyway, I feel like.
She went crazy from the initial warning.
I don't know.
It turned into that, you know, I'm a mother, I have a daughter, I wouldn't cheat. It's like, calm down here.
It's not easy.
He didn't say you were cheating. He said that guy over there is coaching.
He said you're raising your child to be a cheater based on these events.
Who cares? I don't care what you are.
I'm a sister. I'm a daughter.
So is Ivan Gulagan-Cawley.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Point dog.
Now, since then, there's been a cartoon that was put out.
Well, they put that cartoon, the one in Australia, you
yes.
mean? So they put that one out years ago, I think, or I forget when.
Well,
when
they redid it and made
it
more.
It was like very racial, the first one. And then this one, they sort of edited it a little bit, but it's more her.
Not
just,
much.
No, it does not look great.
No, it does not. And
that would not
by
fly.
The way, they have now doubled down. They put it on the front page of their paper today and said, who's going to tell us to be PC?
Like, okay, all right.
Really?
Yeah, that would not fly here at all.
I'm not sure it flies in Australia.
Well,
but that was the story for the weekend, and we had to get Dog's reaction.
Yeah, no, that was worth it. Holy smokes, that was good.
It was
for you to sit there and bring up the mother aspect is ridiculous.
Kim Clijsters.
He had me from Ivan Gulagan call.
So was Kim Clijsters.
From that point on, he had me.
Oh, you're a mother. Awesome. So is Ivan Gulagan calling. So is Kim Clijsters.
They all are. That's great.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number as we get back to the calls with you guys. Before we're done here today, we'll play us some sound from yesterday from General Manager Don Sweeney and Head Coach Bruce Cassidy about the trade of Adam McQuaid. My buddy Billy Jaffe, who, you know, is pretty darn good at what he does and, you know, one of the best analysts in the business, I thought put it perfectly yesterday. He said, and I'm quoting, "Adam McQuaid will always be one of my favorite players in the biz. His calm, kind, and shy demeanor belied the absolute warrior he was for the Bruins. Scary, tough man. I get the trade and agree with it. I also like how Adam now has the potential to play more and earn another deal."
Yeah, it seemed like he was the eighth defenseman on the team.
And his
right?
contract was up after this year.
Yeah, and he
the
makes
Bruins
a
were not
going
to re-sign him because they've got these young defensemen percolating through.
Right.
He'll get a chance to play more with New York. They were actually trying to, at the same time, do him a bit of a favor.
Yeah, because he also at $2.75 million, it's too much for just a depth defenseman. You know, because he was a healthy scratch a bunch last year. He would have been a healthy scratch a bunch this year, assuming everybody else was good. So he moves on. But they are losing a little bit of that badass toughness out there on the ice.
Yep.
The guy who, you know, you're going to think twice about messing around with Pastrnak or Marchand because you might have to answer to McQuaid.
All right, let's get to the calls. Back to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. Greg's in Boston. Hey, Greg.
Hey, what up, man?
How you doing?
On dogs. I can't believe what you guys are talking about Venus Williams about saying that what she did was a fit.
Serena.
Unfortunately, you guys have never played tennis. I haven't played tennis. But for to be a mother who just gave birth and came back to be the level of play that she did just to reach that far and to say that she couldn't be frustrated or she couldn't be upset about how things are being treated to her, even though the Tennis Association did a whole lot of things beforehand over drug testing her and all that. There's a lot of pressure that she was under, and at that point she blew off, and it's not a fit. It is not a fit. I don't like to diminish what she...
Yeah, but Greg, why does she need to say she's a mother? Like, I'm on her side when it comes to her versus the chair judge, but what does it matter? What?
People say worse.
No, that's not a great response. My point is, why bring that up? How does that help?
It doesn't matter if she says she was a
mother. It doesn't matter, right? So why bring it up? Right. That's all I'm saying.
But
you're saying that she came back and she had a child. Okay.
You're trivializing that. Huh?
Yeah, I don't think it's. I think when you're playing, I don't think anybody cares what you just did. Even like earlier in the day, it doesn't matter what you did.
Listen, man, I'm just saying. Would you guys say call it a fit, or you just say she's whining? Or
Greg, were you watching Saturday? She did throw a fit.
I saw other people do worse.
Yes,
I
mean, absolutely. And they're bad too. And there's no doubt about that.
And nobody goes, oh, he just threw a fit. They just say, you know, just McEnroe being McEnroe.
No. Well, McEnroe was 30 years ago, so
no, we haven't talked about him a lot recently.
If males throw a fit, we say they threw a fit.
Right.
No, but the way you're making it sound,
we were just making fun of Odell Beckham earlier in the show with Tom Curran about when he headbutted the kicking post and all that stuff. We were talking about that then. Serena has the right to lose her mind, but we also have the right to make fun of her when she's out there being like, I'm a mom, and like I would never cheat, and this isn't fair.
But the point I'm just making is sometimes we just say on an insensitive level, right? We don't give opportunity to process what they're going through. So whatever they say is just irrelevant to our standard because we're not going through whatever they're going through at the time when they said it.
Look, I'll tell you what I think she was going through. She was getting her butt handed to her by a 20-year-old kid who was playing great.
Right.
And all it ended up doing was taking away from her glory at the end, and the fans are booing. And
there's an ugly scene there.
Now, I will say this. Serena did, during the post-match remarks, she wouldn't answer questions. She told Tom Rinaldi, I'm not going to answer questions. She was too upset. But she did say, no more booing. Okay, great. Well, you're the reason they were booing.
Yeah.
So I guess now you're trying to ratchet it back.
The whole thing was a mess. No, and I'm trying to take her side on things. Like, I don't mind. Like, player versus ref, I mean, unless it's a real extreme case, I'm taking the player every time.
Look, we said Carlos Ramos was the guy
who
should have de-escalated it.
Yeah.
He should have allowed her to let off steam.
No, he didn't.
The third warning, the one that cost her a game in the second set, he's got to let her just get it off her chest, get it over with, and let's move on.
Yeah.
But he couldn't do it.
He didn't do it, so he definitely made the whole thing significantly worse. But some of the stuff that she said, I just thought was ridiculous. So we're gonna make fun of her. That's fine. I could care less that she's a mom. She could have zero kids. She could have 10 kids. I don't care. What are you bringing that up?
Well,
for?
That was the and
that's
that
very,
was
very odd.
By the way, that's how she started.
Yeah.
Her first remarks when her coach got called for coaching.
Yeah.
Which he was doing, and she said, you know, I'm a mother. I have a child. I'd rather lose than cheat. Really?
Well, and then the other, yeah, so that's bizarre. And then the other one, I'm like, oh, maybe she's got a point here when she's saying, hey, you know, men, you wouldn't penalize a man for this. Well, it turns out that guy would. Apparently he has in Mad Dog.
That guy might be a little thin-skinned, by the way. Carlos Ramos.
Yeah.
Might be a little thin-skinned.
Yeah, right, exactly.
But she started the thing with the, you know, I'm not a cheater. Well,
it's the coach.
You were the cheater.
It's really all the whole thing started with that guy.
Mike's on the cell phone. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
So Dale, you know, I mean, I'm a fan of yours. You know, I've been calling you for years, but I got to say, you're kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth on this one.
Okay, how's that?
Either she's at fault or she isn't, and you're saying, well, she's kind of at fault, but so let me just.
Oh, I think they both are at fault.
Okay, well, so real quick, he gives her the warning for coaching. Because at the end of the day, she's the player.
Which,
you know, she's
by the way, is ridiculous because it happens virtually every match.
Yeah, you know what? Respectfully, I hate the, well, everybody does it too thing. You know, because, you know, it's like the guy who gets caught doing 80 on I-95 and gets a ticket. Well, everybody drives 80. Well, yeah, you're the one who got caught. Deal with it.
That one was really weak. I got to be honest. Her reaction was even weaker.
That's fair. All right, you want to say it was a weak call. It was a weak call, whatever. But the point is she still broke the rule. She got the warning. Fine. Then she broke the racket, as you mentioned.
Automatic.
Now it's another penalty, okay? Now,
but if he hadn't given her the first one, the breaking the racket just would have been a warning, not a point penalty.
Okay, again, that's fair. But the point is, she continued to escalate it and carried
yes,
on and on and on.
Absolutely.
How long, in your estimation, how long should he have allowed her to, quote-unquote, blow off steam? And why should he have to give her another warning?
See, I'm gonna tell you why I think you're wrong, Mike. She had blown off steam. She had walked out to the court to begin the next game when he then hit her with the game penalty.
No, sir. No, sir. I'm sorry.
She was standing on the baseline when he made the announcement.
Dale, hold on a second. You need to look at the tape. She was not standing on the baseline. She was standing by the bench. She had gone to the bench to replace the racket that she had smashed, and that's when she started jawing
yes,
at him.
Yes, and she jawed with him.
And then she went out to the baseline.
She was standing on the baseline when he docked her the game.
Right, and he made – no, that's not true. I'm sorry. You have to look at the video again, Dale. She made the comment as she was beginning to walk towards the court. She made the final comment about him being a thief, and that's when she hit him. And then he hit her with the penalty, and she
walked
back.
Mike, didn't you think it was a little weak on his part? She called him a thief. So
honestly,
I'm gonna take a game away in the second set of the U.S. Open because she didn't call him a bleeping
not because
thief.
Of the words you, but damn, not because of the words used. My issue is how long it went, and people are trying to say, oh well, this would never happen to a man, or coming up with examples. First of all, I agree with you. The McEnroe one is ridiculous, but I've seen people linking other videos with heated conversations between the players and the chair umpire.
Happens all the time. Absolutely.
Right. It happens all the time. The difference being is it's not the third instance that's you know, that can be penalized.
But my point was it shouldn't have been the third. It should have been the second.
I just think, and that's fine, but I just think at the end of the day, she has no one to blame but A, her coach for starting the whole thing, and B, herself for getting out of control and carrying on and on and on. And to throw around any other accusation, I'm a mother, this is sexist, what about everybody else? It's all weak nonsense. She's the one who carried on, and she's the one who got penalized for her own behavior. It's her own fault, no matter how you try to sugarcoat it.
No, see, I think both are at fault here. She absolutely took it too far, and I said she deserves that part.
Right.
But he also, the first warning was ticky-tack, in my opinion.
It was really lame.
Ticky-tack. I mean, literally, you see the guy, and all he's doing is making a hand gesture, which is, you know, move closer to the net.
Yeah, the whole thing was just got out of control. And then you got to look at the chair judge. I mean, that's the guy that needs to keep the thing on the rails. He didn't. Serena didn't do herself any favors. I mean,
no.
She definitely sounded ridiculous at times.
She had to just calm down.
Yeah.
Now, I also think that Carlos Ramos has got to let her blow off steam.
Yeah.
She's going to, I'll use a Keefism. She's running hot.
She was running a little hot.
So
she was.
You know, she's not swearing. She called him a thief. Oh, my God. Say it isn't so.
Because he took a point away.
Right. No, at that point, it was.
Oh, yeah, no.
No, that was the point.
Yeah, it was. That's why.
Calling her
that.
The thief got the game taken away. It's just.
It's all what a mess. It's tennis. It's getting people talking about tennis, though. We haven't talked about
nobody,
tennis.
Nobody
once.
Is. They're just talking about just beefs and blow-ups.
Yeah.
And,
I don't remember anything else about it, but I just remember that. And that was the big storyline. Like you said, the name of the woman who won, I don't even know who it is.
And she, by the way, played great.
Oh, yeah, she was great. Well, that's also one of the reasons why Serena lost her mind. She was losing. Like that. How many times do you see somebody freak out like that when they're winning? That's very rare.
And if she was up a set, she probably would have let a little
she would have been
go.
Mad. She would have been like, are you kidding me? You're calling me a cheater here? She would have been mad, but she wouldn't have lost it the way that she did.
Joe's in North Smithfield. Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, Dale.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to tell you, buddy. I'm a big Serena fan. But you're wrong on this one.
Okay.
She wouldn't let things go.
No, I said that. She wouldn't let it go, but he's got to let her blow off steam.
Well, he was letting her blow off steam, buddy. But she if you looked at him, like this last caller said, he calmly was trying to refute the whole thing, and she wouldn't let it go. It was immature to smash the racket. Come on. She's wrong on this one, buddy.
Look, the racket is...
That's your buddy, pal.
Joe, the racket one is automatic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's automatic. I said that.
But the racket thing doesn't happen if it wasn't for the first one.
But if he doesn't give her the ticky-tack coaching penalty warning, the smashing of the racket then becomes the warning. He took it too far to begin with. She took it too far at the end.
Yeah, I think if she had closed her mouth and let it go, I don't blame the guy. The guy's out there to do a job. And she wouldn't let it go. But I'm a big fan of yours anyway. Carry on, brother.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, but the guy's job is also, I think, just to let the players play. You know, call it as he sees it. But you don't need to get sensitive and like, oh, you called me a thief. Taking like verbal abuse. Like, come on. Get out of here. There should be almost no such thing as verbal abuse to an umpire. You should be able to say whatever you want to an umpire. That's how I feel.
Well,
Anything goes.
I wouldn't go that far. If she was swearing, it'd be different. She wasn't.
No, she didn't. We played the whole thing. She didn't have to.
She didn't have to because she was too busy calling.
But it's hard to say to fully support her because she really lets it get away from her a little bit in her diatribe.
Oh, did
like,
she? It kinda,
you're like, all right, like this is like I want to be on your side.
And that's not right. This is not fair. This is not right.
So that's another, stop it right there. So that's another problem that I would have with it. She goes, this has happened to me too many times.
Maybe that's a you thing.
Yeah, like, ugh. So,
by the way, career is littered with instances of kind of verbally abusing chair umpires especially.
Right.
She's so good. She just steamrolls pretty much everybody she played early on in her career. You wouldn't think she'd run that hot, but she has.
What did it say? She's won like 23.
This would have been her 24th major. She would have tied Margaret Court for the most singles major titles in history.
But yeah, like to say this, oh, this has happened to me too many times. Like, well, then you should probably learn your lesson then. Like at that point, right? Like as much as I'm saying, go ahead and scream at the ref if you want. But if you're always getting in trouble for it, then maybe you gotta change it up a bit.
Joe's on the cell phone. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. All due respect, neither of you is a big tennis fan, right? Historically, you don't know.
How dare you, Joe?
I was watching it Saturday specifically because I wanted to see it.
I got nothing on it, Joe. I got nothing.
All right. So I grew up watching tennis. I'm in my early 50s, and not only was Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley reference a great one, Margaret Court, who is the owner of the 24 Grand Slam record that Serena's trying to break, was a mother almost her whole career, took her little kid on tour, husband as well. So, you know, that whole mother thing, I completely agree with you guys. The one thing that I disagree with is the whole issue about not coaching. Okay, it's a stupid rule, but everyone
idiotic.
Knows it. But listen.
But it's a rule.
Everyone knows it. All the players know it. And everyone always gets called for it. The fact that he only gave her a warning is actually minimal compared to other times they give point penalties for that. Okay? So while it's stupid, she way overreacted. And then, of course, the slamming of the racket, that's automatic.
Well, the coach should go sit in the nosebleeds then. Like, get out. That's the coach's fault. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know the rules.
Totally agree.
What is he doing? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It's to me, the whole thing should be overhauled. They should allow coaching. You should be able to go to the box. But in this particular case, I don't blame the chair umpire pretty much at all. He was calm the whole way through. The one thing I would take exception with is if all she said is, you're a thief, you took away a point from me,
right,
and I didn't see the thing, so I don't know if that was part of a litany that lasted 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, no, she said, you owe me an apology. I demand an apology.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. She didn't swear, though.
No.
Yeah, yeah, he could have let that go. I think that's the only part that maybe he could have just allowed a little more, go back to your place, stop, or warned her, hey, if you don't go back to your place, you're going to get a next penalty. That probably would have been a smarter thing to do. Whether she listened to it or not, it would have absolved him from the criticism that he was overreacting.
Right.
I think part of it, too, was there was a thought that it was so noisy in there, and she was helping to create some of that noise, that she didn't understand that she had been given a warning for the coaching. She didn't understand the point thing. In other words, when she smashed the racket, she didn't understand, okay, that's your second infraction. You now have lost a point.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you get to the third one, you now lose a game. You would think that some internal thing would be saying, maybe I need to shut up
here. I don't think she was thinking very
clearly. Because I'm going to lose a game if I don't shut up.
That just really, it sped it up. Like, it was going that way.
She was running hot.
Oh, yeah. She certainly was.
You know a little bit about that.
Sure. I respect it.
Goffstown, Babe Ruth, Lake. You got to go home,
exactly.
Young man.
Oh, yeah, I just cared. I care a lot about it.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.